Now, in keeping with what has been our objective, to present the gospel in simple terms, and we believe that everyone that has attended these meetings has been left in no doubt as to their condition and the provision made by the Lord Jesus and the way of salvation simply stated, the responsibility of men to believe the gospel. I want to read again a text from the Word of God found in John chapter 10. The Gospel by John chapter 10. The words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9. John 10 and verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. He becomes a sheep. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth, layeth down his life for the sheep. Now the Lord will bless to us the reading of his precious word. We sang a song tonight that impressed itself upon me that what I had been thinking about was indeed suitable for this occasion. There's a shepherd that died for the sheep. 'Tis Jesus, the blessed Lamb of God. Now I've been very impressed recently in considering the preaching of the Prince of all preachers, our Lord Jesus Christ. And I found that all his ministry given to the unsaved was uttered in the most simple language so that the common people heard him gladly. It was said about him that never man spake like this. And certainly it is true, for he was the Son of God. His words, like himself, will live forever. As we think of the ministry of Christ, we think of the 45th Psalm, grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God, even thy God, hath blessed thee forever. When he stood up at Nazareth on the first occasion of his public ministry, though he was clothed in the garb of a Galilean peasant, unknown and rejected, they marveled at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. The wonder of the speaking of the Savior. Now all the great truths of the gospel that the Lord Jesus sought to impress upon the hearts of men were couched in the simplest of language. And yet the profound depths of his ministry can never be fully known by angels or man. For instance, when he wanted to illustrate the importance of having a foundation that would stand the test of death and eternity, he simply pointed men to builders. One man who paid particular attention in Matthew 7 to the foundation, he digged deep, took him a considerable time, and finally he came to the rock and rested his shelter securely upon it, while the second man built upon the sand. And the outcome is inevitable. We see that house tested and falling, and great was the fall of it. But the house upon the rock stood firm, as we sing in our children's chorus, in the hour of testing. The Lord Jesus said, it's like listening to these sayings of mine and doing them, such as a man who founds his house upon a rock. What a solemn parable that was, so simply told. It tells us of the absolute necessity of having the right foundation for eternity. Well, for all of us here who can sing, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Then when he wanted to illustrate the joy that it gives to God when a sinner turns in repentance, he brought that pearl of all parables to our attention in a prodigal son turning from a far country, clothed in rags, by sin defiled, coming down the road in repentance different than when he went away, and kneeling in contrition with those words, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am not worthy to be called thy son." We read those beautiful words that the Father kissed him much. It's a beautiful picture of God's great heart of mercy for guilty sinners that return. And so, page after page in the New Testament, his words of simplicity and everyday happenings illustrated the beauty and plainness of God's wonderful grace in salvation. Now I'm going to speak of John 10 and 9. We like to take a text like this that you can find in your own Bible. Nothing difficult at all about it. The simple gospel clearly stated. And yet in these words are depths that cannot be fathomed and wonders that cannot be told out fully in these beautiful words, John 10 and 9, that hangs here on one of these boards. "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." Oh, what beautiful words are these. And this is my text this evening. One text, a few words, and yet limitless in their value and simple in their message. And I trust that someone tonight may enter while there's room. "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." Doors are things that all of us are using every day. For exit and entrance, coming and going, we pass through doors of all kinds and in many places. And I trust if you're unsaved, the next door that you pass through will be the door to heaven, and that you might be saved for eternity. The simplicity and beauty of how to be saved, illustrated by an everyday material thing that we're well acquainted with. A door. "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." I suppose the story of the Bible, relative to the matter of salvation and sin, it begins with a door. The whole basis of what we're preaching lies in the fall in Eden's garden. I hope we all believe in the reality of Eden's fall, when man sinned against God in that beautiful garden, and it was necessary that God would exclude him from his presence. What a sad and tragic day that was when sin entered this world of ours, and Adam and his wife were driven out of the garden. They were reluctant to go. They didn't want to leave. But God drove out the man. And when he was once on the outside of that garden, then God closed the door. The door was shut to that garden. Adam can go around that garden 10 times a day, but there's no way back. The door is closed, and the flaming sword, turning every way, keeps the way to the tree of life. The door was shut. You say, what has that to do with us in 1990, sitting in a tent here? That Edenic fall? That Edenic fall is the key to the present ruin of the human family. All men have entered into the world, and the door to heaven is closed against everyone. Oh, what a solemn thing that is to think about. Romans 5 and 12, "By one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Death has passed through like a river, bearing all her sons away." Physical death tells me that we are sinners. One by one, if our Lord be not come, to take his church, every seat will be emptied here, and each of us will succumb to the last terror, the king of all terrors, and the terror of all kings, the last enemy, death. Tells me that we are sinners, born in sin, shapen in iniquity, born without hope, away from God. And there is not a just man upon the earth, one that sinneth not. The whole human family is ruined and excluded from God. What a solemn day that was when Adam sinned, and we sinned in him, and went out from the presence of God, and the door was shut. Preceding that event, and we know not how long before, was the sad day when angels sinned in heaven. Sin was in heaven before it entered earth. The mystery of it, and the solemnity of it, and those angels that sinned, they were excommunicated, and the door was shut against angelic beings that once sang in heaven's wondrous choir, when all the sons of God sang together and shouted for joy, all in the one choir on that day of creation. But how far they have been separated, only God can tell. Angels excluded, and the door to heaven was closed against those high angelic beings. The greatest need of humanity and the greatest need of angels was a door. I have never been able to understand the mystery of it, that God opened no door for angelic beings. They perished. And while I preach here this evening, there are angels bound in chains of darkness in hell itself, waiting the judgment of the great day. They have no hope, and God opened no avenue, no way of salvation, and no door for angels. He passed them by. But as he looked upon a world of lost men, it was in the heart of divine persons, Father, Son, and Blessed Spirit, to open a door for a world of men. Oh, thank God for that door that was opened, that all may go in. My first point is a very simple one, the absolute necessity of a door. Angels could never have planned that door if all the angels in heaven had been summoned around the throne of God and plied with the ancient question, how can I be just and open a door and let guilty sinners into heaven at last? No angel could ever have found the plan or known the means. No man on earth, Solomon in all his glory, could never have solved the riddle. And yet how simple it is. God, looking down a world of lost men, decided that he would open a door, and one door alone. Oh, let me emphasize that there is only one door. One door to be saved tonight for every man that will ever be in heaven. There is but one door and one alone. I hope you'll find it tonight, and that you'll know before you leave what that door is. Now the next point I want to speak about is a very plain one. That while a door was necessary and God desired to open it, this door to open it was the most costly thing that God ever accomplished. When we look at creation, we say what a wonderful act that is of God. And I hope we all believe that God is the great creator. We believe that the one that died upon the tree, all things, John 1, were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. But in order to create all things, he spake a word of power and brought into being the sun and moon and stars. And as we look at them, like David in Psalm 8, we say, when I consider thy heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. Evolution is an old teaching, and it's as rotten as it was when Darwin invented it. We believe today that God is the Creator. The fool has said in his heart, no God. Friend of mine, there is a God. Heaven, the heavens declare His majesty and His worth and His dignity and of omnipotence as we gaze upon the great things He created. And as we look upon the tiny midge that flies in a summer night, man with all his power and scientific knowledge cannot give life even to the fly that's in the kitchen. God is the author of life and breath. But to do it, He spake a word. But in order this door might be opened, one of the Godhead three, no greater person had ever been in this world. The Son, to come down here and experience what it was to be as a man of sorrow, to come into this world of ours from a place where sorrow had never been, where no trial or tear had ever been known, to lay aside the outward environment of heaven where He was adored by all the sons of flame, and with lightning speed to come down into our world by way of the virgin's womb. Let me say, the virgin birth is a foundation of Christianity. Any place where the virgin birth is denied or added to, there can be no vicarious atonement preached. We preach that He was virgin born, conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. One of the greatest miracles in the Bible, and we believe it with all our heart. No one could explain it. No man could understand it. God has told us what He wants us to believe about it. And I bow to the book, and I believe the virgin conceived and brought forth a son, and His name is Emmanuel, God with us. He came down into this world. 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying. In the days of Paul, the world was filled with endless genealogies and old wives' fables and science falsely so called when he wrote to Timothy. But he said, in the midst of all these fables, old wives' fables, there is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus, telling us He existed, He pre-existed His birth. He was before His birth as to His person. He was the eternal Son of the Father's love. And He came. Oh, bless His name, He came. What did He come to do? To open the light gate. To open the door. He came to be a great teacher. He was the greatest teacher ever here. He came to live a sinless life, spotless, without a blemish. Oh, bless His name. We believe in the virtuous totality of His life, the absolute sinlessness of His nature, and the perfection of all His ways. He's without a blemish. There was none like Him ever before. Never one again will ever tread this veil of tears like Him. He stands supreme. He stands alone. And as the dear hymn writer Francis Alexander wrote, there was none other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. He was here to open heaven's eternal door for a world of lost men. His birth couldn't do it. It was necessary. His sinless words couldn't do it. His gracious miracles, all His acts of perfection and beauty, could never open that door. But when He went to Calvary and hung alone between those thieves on that tremendous day, bound with thorns, bleeding, mocked, proud men around deriding, sang Chapman long ago, His sorrows on the tree. And there as He hung upon that cross midst rending rock and darkening sky at noon, Jehovah laid upon His Son the iniquity of us all. He paid the utmost farthing there. He died an atoning death and opened the life gate and cried, it is finished. The veil was rent from top to bottom in the temple. And the tabernacle is the type showing that the way back to God has now been made manifest, and the door is open wide, and sinners can be saved. Nothing ever cost God more than that opening of that door. The precious blood had to be shed, the life of a son poured out upon the altar. Listen to Romans 8. God spared not His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. Listen to these beautiful words, and this was manifested, the love of God to us. God sending His Son in the likeness of the flesh of sin, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Listen to these beautiful words tonight. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. 1 John chapter 2, He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours alone, but for the world. And on Calvary's cross, the blessed Lord Jesus opened the door to the wall. And over that blessed door, the glorious words are written now, whosoever will may come. That door was opened as we sang in that beautiful hymn. It was open for all. There is a door stands open wide, and through its portals gleaming, salvation presented to every man under the sun. I'm so glad that we don't recognize races, creeds, colors, religions, age, professions, whether young or old, rich or poor. Every sinner in this tent, every sinner in this province, every sinner in the whole wide world is welcome to come and have his sins forgiven and put away through the blood of Christ and be in heaven for God's eternity. The Savior says, I am the door. The door is not a church. The door is not a font. The door is not a life of prayer. The door is not a religious righteousness that some of you may have. And I recognize in this tent there are young people whose lives are blameless as far as the outward record is concerned. I hope you're not depending upon it and sizing yourself up with some that profess that may have very little evidence in their lives. It's one of the devil's ruses. I want to say tonight, every one of us that got saved, we had to come owning, I'm a lost sinner. Paul, who was the most righteous man of his day, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, as touching the law, blameless, a spotless record as far as his religion was concerned. But when he came, he said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. His personal testimony was, of whom I am chief. And every one of us that came that night, we were occupied with one sinner. I'm the sinner. Luke 18, God be merciful to me, the sinner. We knew that if we died in that condition, we would go down and the door would be shut forever. We would never be in heaven for God's eternity. The opening of the door is for the whole wide world. The opening of the door to Noah's Ark was for 8 persons. Have you ever thought of it? That if one more person had come to that ark, there was no admittance. The ark would never have been on the bosom of the storm if any had repented. It was an avenue to save a family. It was fitted to save those that were in it. But I'm glad to tell you tonight that this ark that we preach, it can take the whole world. God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Blessed ark of mercy tonight. Blessed door to heaven available to the vilest sinner outside of hell that repents and turns to the Savior. He'll never turn you away. I am the door. The door is not religion. The door is not denominationalism. The door is not a life of works. The door is the Savior of the world. Christ is the door. I am the door. Friend, tell me, Where are all your hopes tonight? Every one of us going to heaven in this meeting, we have placed all our hopes. I can say here tonight 100% four square. I'm depending on the Lord Jesus and His precious blood to take me to heaven. If it doesn't take me, I'll never be there. There's no other way to be saved. And it's the only way to be saved. And I marvel at some of you waiting so long, waiting for a more sophisticated message, waiting for someone that will give you grand theology to tickle your ear, waiting for some lecture that will never affect anything. Some of you are so intelligent and educated that you think this is far too simple, that I can be saved in this meeting without a tear and without raising my hand, without waiting behind, owning in my heart that I'm a sinner bound for hell, and there I soon shall be. But the Lord Jesus opened the door for a sinner like me, and I will humbly come. You know, the day we entered, our head was down. Our hands were the same length. Our mouth was shut. We had nothing to say. And we came and we realized Christ has done everything to save my soul. And I must enter and receive it by faith. Listen, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, this is your responsibility tonight. I want to lay that down very clearly. We're living in a day of misty preaching. I want to draw away the cobwebs tonight and tell you in this tent, young man, that you are a responsible being. God has gone to great lengths for your salvation. He gave His Son to bleed and die. He opened the life gate. What more could God do? What more can be done for the vineyard that I have not done? He gave all that He had. But you are a responsible being. The difference in this tent is this, that some of us, when we heard it, we saw I'm responsible for my destiny. No one else. When you stand at the great white throne, you will be responsible to God. No one will ever be there after this meeting and say, I'm here because I didn't know how to be saved. I'm here because God left me out of the provision. No such thing. That provision is unlimited, timeless, and presented here after 2,000 years. And every man here can have that salvation. The Savior said, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What are you going to do? You can enter tonight, or you can stay outside. The Spirit of God will deal with you, but He's not going to push you through the door. Angels are waiting to hear the answer. They can do nothing to save you. All the energies expended in leading you to repentance and faith will never bring you through that door. You see, there's a moment, a crucial moment in every man and woman's experience when we stand at the door. And in this matter, I have to make the final choice. Will it be Christ or my own thoughts? Will it be Christ or my companion? Will it be Christ or the pride of my heart? The Bible says that the fearful and unbelieving head the list to the lake of fire. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. The most solemn thing that you can do in a body of human flesh is not to rise out of this tent and commit a dreadful crime for which you'll be incarcerated the rest of your life. The most dreadful thing that a man or woman, boy or girl, can ever do is this: to hear of the love of God and the death of Christ and an open door and the simple gospel, and to turn it down for whatever reason it may be. The Bible says, he that believeth not shall be damned. What an awful thing that is. I'm a long time saved. It's not for a novice, a verse like that. I quote it with all the dignity and solemnity and reverence
of a man that nears the kingdom to be with Christ forever. He that believeth not in this tent shall be damned. Young man, what will it mean to be damned in the lake of fire? To lift your eyes beyond all hope and to realize I knew the way of salvation and the plan was before me, but I didn't enter. Every one of us that are saved here, we entered at a given day, never to be forgotten. We came to the crossroads. We stood at the place where two ways met. We halted between two opinions. We knew that it was now or never. It's Christ and heaven and home, or else I cling to the things that I've always done. I miss Christ and leave my Father's house for hell. Leave the Sunday school. Leave the Christians that I have loved. Leave a gospel tent where faithful words are spoken. We have no idea who is here tonight. I want to tell you, I don't preach at people. I've never done that in my life. I preach a general gospel in the hope that the arrow might reach someone here. Are you here tonight? Prayed for and wept over, and loved ones in heaven, and promises made, and you're here yet without Christ, and the door is open wide. You can be saved tonight. The need of a door, God opened, infinite cost. Over its entrance is enter now. But listen, the door will soon be shut. The last soul could be saved tonight. As far as the church is concerned, I'm absolutely clear about this. The most of the churches in heaven of this age, and the lesser number are on the way, and the greatest number are likely gathered in already. The foundation was laid at Pentecost. The ages have come and gone, and we're near the end. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Bible says when once the master of the house is risen up and is shut to the door, when will it be? Maybe tonight. I have preached in 66 tents in my lifetime. This may be the last time a tent will ever be pitched. Soon the canvas will be wrapped up and the tent will be gone. The first week is gone already. And God is giving you a golden opportunity. Not that you don't know the gospel, some of you know it, and you've heard men preach it with more ability than ever I had. I'm only a simple evangelical tonight. I don't profess to be a great teacher of the Word of God. I'm just a simple gospel preacher. I'm here to tell you that God loves you tonight. And Christ died on the middle cross that you might be saved, and the door is open. But tomorrow that door may be shut. Closed forever. The Lord is coming. Do you know what could close that door for some of you? A sudden death. No guarantee. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. As I mount this platform tonight, I recognize that a man of my age and my condition, any night could be my last to preach. I hope that God will help me to be faithful. The last time I ever preach, as I was the first time, to warn of heaven and home and a seat in the glory that can be yours, but to warn you that there's a hell of fire where sinners go that miss the Lord Jesus. What a sad thing that is. To go out into the dark, to lift your eyes and the door is shut. And I'll never be saved. Never. Oh, may God forbid that anyone here would perish outside the open door, closed in their face and the harvest past. Listen to the text before you go. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, shall be saved. God help you to enter now, shall we pray.